You are listening to the DreamStation.cc video game show, the week of July 17th, 2006, episode 63.
Hello, it's Sunday, July 16th, and you are listening to the DreamStation.cc video game show. I'm your host, Chris. This is show number 63. This is semi-live in the basement. Check out the website, www.dreamstation.cc, for news, reviews, interviews, forums, podcast feeds, and our downloadable show archive. If you want to send us an email, videogameshow@dreamstation.cc. We also have a phone number.
206-984-GAME.
Yeah, this week's poll topic. Is the phone number right?
4263. Keith was right. 206-984-GAME is the phone number. With us today, we have in-house Tom.
The blog's finally done. Everyone visit www.mcfragslot.com. And I don't know what I'm actually going to have up there, so visit every day and we'll find out. Although I need a web designer, so somebody who has skills, I'm willing to pay actual American greenbacks. An HTML and cascading style sheet, nice little blog, original blog layout. Just don't steal a template and then try to sell it to me. I'm not that dumb. Okay,
We have Keith with us.
Hello!
We have Ivan in-house.
Hello!
We have Bob via Skype in California, so that's why we're doing the show on Sunday.
As always, I'm dashing, daring, courageous, and caring.
Are you bouncing here and there and everywhere? High adventure that's beyond compare?
Privy to the secret of gummy berry juice.
Phil isn't around. Phil's significant other plowed into somebody on their way out of the driveway, so Phil is unavailable.
Why is that funny?
So what are we going to talk about today? Do you know we have new at DreamStation.cc, what we are playing? Team Fortress 2 incoming. Sony is not actually arrogant.
Yes, they are.
PS3 backwards compatibility. A review of Battle for Middle-Earth 2 for the Xbox 360.
Consequently, the girl that's in the new hire group with me worked on that with EA.
Oh, really? Is she cute? Is she single?
Sony gets sued again.
Microsoft owes the European Union $230 million.
Yeah, well, that too.
That's like 50 bucks Canadian.
The Epic VP is saying that Intel is killing gaming. Betty Ford Clinic for Gamers opens up.
Oh, definitely.
Could it be the Betty White Clinic? We need to somehow wear Golden Girl references in this show.
Forum question and our mailbag.
Mailbag!
Next topic.
First up, we have housekeeping. For those of you new at the show, housekeeping is a place where we clear up any loose ends that we've screwed up in the previous show, as well as talk about...
There is no one new to the show.
Oh, you know what? We were featured on the front page of the Strongsville Sun paper.
Yay!
Yeah.
You're branching out to Strongsville? Oh, dear God.
We are. We were on the front page of the local Brunswick Sun paper, and then we were on the community section on, like, a big feature spread in the Strongsville local paper, so we're sort of legit or something here. If you're arriving to us via some local newspaper, drop us a line or an email.
How about this? If you are new to us via a local newspaper, you win a prize. Give us a call.
I got a lot of emails, and I am saying that the Nintendo DS, remember we talked last week about the Game Boy line being dead? Tom was actually right. The Nintendo DS is taking over for the Game Boy.
And yeah, everyone gave me crap about it, too, during the show. They're like, what are you talking about?
I didn't post this week's poll topic because I was wrong about the whole Nintendo DS versus Game Boy thing. The Game Boy is dead, so we didn't post the poll topic about, will the Nintendo try to support two different handheld units?
And the answer is no.
They're not. We did have an Xbox Live gaming night this past Thursday. It was a moderate success. We had about 10 people playing Ghost Recon. Duff did a pretty good job before we got there organizing some Call of Duty and stuff. After Grau, we did some Burnout. It's a big pain to organize. Organized gaming on Xbox Live for a large group of people. I mean, we had like 10 or 15 people and nobody knew what games we were playing. Nobody knew what games everybody else had. No one knew who was hosting the games. There wasn't really a lobby, so everyone was sending messages back and forth, and it was actually really, really painful. So I don't know how big clans play on Xbox Live. They have it pre-scheduled sometime that this guy will host at this such and such a time.
On the vernal equinox of the seventh year.
Yeah, it was a pain, dude. We are doing another game night this week. It's going to be a weekly thing. This week is going to be another Xbox Live. We're going to try and do it Friday night, let's say East Coast time around 8 on. I have volleyball Friday night, so I won't be able to get on until after that's over, so look for me around 10 o'clock, but we posted in our forum, so jump in there and throw your gamer tag up. Look for Big Duff or myself. NCAA football demo is out for the 360. It is very good, and based on the demo, I pretty much think everyone that's into football should buy it. The full review will be coming when it comes out. Rumored price drop. Remember we talked about the price drop for the Xbox 360, and Microsoft kind of said, no, that's not going to happen. The new rumor is that on August 1st, you will be able to get a Pro Bundle, that's the good version of the 360, as well as a copy of Project Gotham 3 Racing, and 1,250 marketplace points, that's about just over $10, and a 3-month Gold Xbox Live subscription. The official Microsoft word on if that is coming out out and available on August 1st is No Comment.
So essentially the bottom line is no, they're not going to do a price drop.
That's what they say.
Okay, there you go.
Podcast award nominations are over. Thanks to everyone who voted for us or nominated us or whatever stage of the awards we were in.
Did we nominate? I forgot to check. So that, you know what that means? So it's like Major Nelson won, PC Gamer Magazine won, 1UP.com won.
So thank you to the fans. Another reminder, DreamStation Mail is moving in August. If you use a DreamStation Mail account, it will go away. If you need a Gmail invite, which is free, drop me a line. We did give out the phone number. Hey, I did have it in here. 206-984-GAME, 206-984-4263. I am getting some voicemails. I did get a couple people just like burping into the microphone, so those obviously won't be played. No, I don't want that type of stuff. And it's not toll-free. Folks overseas or folks in different states. I don't even know what area code that is.
Folks under 18, get your parents' permission before calling if you're not in that area code.
Exactly. Use Skype or use a cell phone or something. And if you're overseas,
war drive and use someone else's internet connection.
Send us actual audio. It's probably easiest. Oh, does anyone have anything else in housekeeping? Bob, how was the first week on the new job?
Boring. Okay, I'm technically on Shrek 3, but I won't be working on it for another 4 months.
Next topic.
What's new at DreamStation.cc? We have a review of the Xbox 360 version of Elder Scrolls Oblivion. We also have a PC review of the movies as of Sunday night here. So.
Next topic.
Team Fortress 2 incoming. So Half-Life 2 is coming for the next generation systems, the PS3 and the Xbox 360, probably.
Dear God.
Probably no surprise. Probably not going to be as good.
Probably. Let's put a big definite yes on that one. It will not be as good.
I like Battlefield a little better for the 360 than I did for the PC, only because it was ease of use, didn't have the frame rate issues. You could actually...
Completely different game, though.
It is. It's a totally separate game. Team Fortress 2. Tom, when we were in college, you were like all pumped about Team Fortress 2 coming out.
Well, I did, because when Half-Life first hit, that was like kind of when I stopped paying attention to coursework and was just all about Half-Life and its mods. And then all the trade press at the time was a buzz about news about Team Fortress 2. And it was going to be a realistic squad-based shooter. You know, they released screenshots and short movie promos, and this was like 2099 time frame.
2099?
Yeah, PC Gamer Magazine dedicated a cover to Team Fortress 2, and then, of course, then 6 years go by. And now we have the new screenshots.
They're very cartoony. It's pretty much cartoony. It doesn't look really realistic at all. And by the screenshot, it looked like they were sitting next to an electrical outlet, so it looked like maybe they were about 7 or 8 inches tall.
Well, they're going for that No One Lives Forever kind of style. Yeah, very animated, very kind of lighthearted style. Which
the whole way this all ties in together is that Team Fortress 2 is going to be on the next-gen version of Half-Life 2. So for your PS2 and your 360, you will have...
And so people who've been waiting for Team Fortress 2 for 6 years, it's finally coming.
I'm waiting for Moon Dancer 2, the Michael Jackson game.
No, Moonwalker.
And there was a monkey in it, too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he walked in the place, he threw a quarter into the jukebox, and then would dance and kill people.
And don't forget, he could turn into a robot.
Yeah.
It's big news because it's been waited for what?
And you know what? From the screenshot, it looks like all the classes that were in Team Fortress Classic are going to be in this one. So it's kind of a remake, just the same way Counter-Strike Source and Data Defeat Source were basically remakes of the same game dynamic.
All right, next up, we have Sony's Not Actually Arrogant.
Yeah, they are.
Next topic.
Sony Worldwide President Phil Harrison has responded to all the folks criticizing that Sony is actually arrogant with their PS3 is too cheap and people will buy it no matter what and the games might be actually higher than $60 and whining about Microsoft steals all our good ideas and all that stuff. He said the quotes were taken mostly out of context, mostly, and the Sony game plan is definitely not one of arrogance. He went on to say that they're actually in a highly competitive market space, and anything that Sony says, because they're the market leader, will be heavily scrutinized by all kinds of critics and taken out of context.
We're the not arrogant market leader, obviously.
It's not said out of arrogance, but, you know, since we're number one...
The most not arrogant company.
I know, what was the context of, we could sell this with no games, and it'll still sell?
When I said we could sell this with no games, I meant, you know... Yeah, that's pretty much what I meant.
We may have accidentally invented a new character today while watching Extreme Home Edition makeover thing, whatever. They're building a beach house for Hepe the Fish Boy. He only had one eye and he needs to have a special apparatus
real?
To breathe in. No, not at all.
Next topic.
More Sony stuff. How about backwards compatibility plans for the PS3? So this is pretty much the only good bit of news that we've heard about Sony lately. Sony claims that just about every PS2 and PS1 game will play on the PS3. So out of all the games that they've tested, around 40 of them are incompatible, and he said that's too high of a number. So I actually have to say that's actually a good bit of news, because I don't even know how many PS1 and 2 games there are, hundreds each.
And it's a good piece of news because we all know how important backwards compatibility is.
Well, goes back to that whole, the system will sell even though we don't have any games for it. We expect people to play their own games.
Next topic.
So the next up is the review of Battle for Middle-Earth 2 for the Xbox 360. I actually got my copy here this past week. I had an opportunity to play it for, it wasn't a ton of time. We played it about, what, a couple hours today, maybe 2-3 hours today, add an additional two. So I'm admitting that this is a briefly played review. I've played it less than the usual.
Chris, we've done reviews on Batman Begins, which you played for like 4 minutes in the store. This is like an in-depth review for us.
As a general habit, I like to play the game, honestly, at least 10 hours. We played the Battle for Middle-Earth 2 at the EA event out in Redmond.
We?
The people that went.
No, there was no we.
None of you peons. I'm not arrogant, I'm just saying. You might take that out of context.
There you go.
And when we played it, it was actually a pretty good game. It was pretty fun. I chalked it up to the fact that this would be a game that I would buy if other friends of mine would have, because it's not the type of game, really, that I would like to play competitively online. That was proven today, because I'm not really good at the game, and I jumped into a 2-on-2 game, and the partner I was with, he was one of these. He just wants to build stuff, so I'm getting bum-rushed by two guys, and I'm kind of, sort of defending and holding my own, and he's like, I need to make elephants, so I can't possibly send help your way until I have 4 elephants.
He's like, 1 second, sir. I'm almost done with my elephant.
I don't know if this thing was rushed to market or what. There's a lot of stupid bugs. They're not something that are going to make and break the game, but a lot of even the little things that we saw and kind of mentioned when...
You need to stop. The first and most glaring issue was that the AI was retarded. Don't talk about the little bugs that may or may not have caused the game to be rushed. Talk about the glaring bug that the AI...
Talk about the fact that when I had my spiders and my soldiers and stuff, and I was trying to attack one lone group of pikemen that were ransacking my entire village, and I had, at least 50 guys, 8 or 10 units, literally. My screen was full. My guys wouldn't attack them. They would, like, run around in a circle and stare. Go attack something, and they just stand there and don't do what you're trying to get them to do. You're supposed to be commanding a large army. The game, though, itself is plagued by just stupid bugs. The shadows look totally horrible. We couldn't play online much. I tried for a good hour and a half, 2 hours this morning.
Well, you got to wait about, a good 4 or 5 months for the game to lose all its popularity, and then they'll release some maps for it?
It had a patch the first weekend that it was out to fix some of these connection problems. The frame rate takes a big hit in big battles, which, I mean, it's a game of epic armies, so go figure how much of the time you have a big battle on the screen. The games can go actually long. Some of the people I was talking to had games well over an hour with 3 or 4 hours for one of the games. I don't know how you could play a real-time strategy game for 4 hours.
It's nice to see that triple-core PowerPC architecture holding up under the weight of Battle for Middle-Earth 2. Way to go.
And people say we're Microsoft fanboys.
The controls are really, really good for a console. But for a console is at the end of that sentence. So.
Boy, she's really hot for a one-tooth, missing-eye, peg-legged woman.
Right.
Named Hippie.
Here's another annoyance. When you're in a game, like if Bob, let's say you have this game and you invite me to a game, you have to actually watch, if you don't have the game on, you have to watch the stupid loading screens. The New Line Cinema and 2 or 3 different EA logos. And literally...
Yes, it wouldn't be an EA game without screens you can't escape past.
At least in the PC version, there's ways to get around. You can rename the movie files and stuff. No, on the Xbox 360, your buddy wants to invite you into a game that they're all waiting on you. You put the disc in, and then 3 minutes later, after all the load screens are there, then you're finally into the game. And then it can't connect when all is said and done. All that being said, negative, the game could be fun if you had a bunch of people around the same skill level and it was with your friends, that they would either go easy on you or step it up or help each other out. If you're trying to play this competitively, everything that I was worried about, I fear is coming true, because people weren't helping me. Not only were they not helping me, the enemy was talking over the... It was a 4-player 2-on-2 game. They were talking in French. There was 2 French guys on there. So not only did I have the spam from their team, it wasn't even in a language I could understand. The controls, it's no PC and keyboard.
Picking up that hooker could be fun, but you might have syphilis.
I can't really recommend that anybody buy this game. I think if you want to do anything, rent it first. There is a demo on Xbox Live Marketplace. Play it. See how you like it.
Oh, geez, Chris. I think you're the wrong person to be reviewing this game.
I think I am. That's a part of it. But even if you like RTS games, you're going to have a PC, and that's where you should continue to play your RTS games. But everything we were worried about is true. This kid wanted to build up a base. You can build up whatever you want in an online game. Some dude's going to come in and just smoke you like a fatty.
You'll face that even in StarCraft, where you'll get a partner who just doesn't know anything, and he's going to climb up his tech tree as high as he possibly can because he wants those Protoss carriers while you're being swamped by a bunch of Zerglings, and that's just
Tom,
part of the game.
I'm so turned on right now.
It looked really cool. I don't like real-time strategy games, but you mentioned a few things, like you don't have to spend half your time mining for gold.
Yeah, the way they manage the resources is really good. It's you build this one type of building, and every second it generates resource.
Yeah, and actually, I didn't get a chance to touch the controls because Chris is, of course, the dictator of his home here. From the couch, it looked
think
good.
Think of soup Nazis with consoles.
I liked how all the units, they lined up in nice formations. That was really cool.
Me, personally, I would not have bought this game. I would give it maybe a 7 out of 10. It was a decent first attempt. I would not buy this thing.
Next topic.
Just seeing the news that obviously UMD sales are tanking, and now Sony is releasing movies on memory stick. And they're doing it really, really fabulous. Wish I would have thought of this and patented it. So they include 4 movies on a memory stick, and you get to like pick one.
Right, there's some kind of licensing.
Here's 4 movies that are really old and not so good, but take your pick and you can watch one on your PSP.
SWAT is one of them, I know.
Next topic.
All right, this one's kind of crazy. Epic VP says Intel is killing PC gaming. They had in Brighton, UK, they had this big developer conference, and Mark Rain, he's the Epic VP, he came out and said that, you know, everybody's preaching doom and gloom about the PC gaming platform. Epic dude says, oh, it's from Intel, specifically the promotion of their integrated graphics chipsets. The graphic card substitutes have been around for a while, and now they're popular because they're cheap. He said 80% of new laptops and 55% of desktops have these integrated graphics cards. He's saying that that's why PC gaming is dying. It's kind of because the machines can't handle it because all this stuff's integrated because it's cheaper. So when you get your $499 laptop that you see on the commercials.
So it's not the fault of the people that are making the games. It's the fault of the people that don't want to shell out insane amounts of money.
No, this has some credence because this keeps PC gaming a niche market, because now only enthusiasts can play PC games, because not every PC that sells has a graphics accelerator capable of...
No, but that's stupid.
No, Mark Rain is saying that just that nobody wants to bother with the time and effort and money because
it's really expensive, that's why.
That's exactly right.
So how is that Intel's fault?
Because I don't think it would cost Intel all that much to put a chip like the GeForce Go or the embedded Radeons into their chipsets. At school, you know, we have these $1,000 PCs. Everyone on campus will have them. But now none of these new expensive PCs can play any games. So yes, so I never saw this before, but you're right. I see how that can affect PC gaming.
But is that actually true? I mean, I have a laptop. I can't play the latest, greatest first-person shooter, but I can play real-time strategy games fine. I can play massively multiplayer online games. I can play Warcraft and City of Villains. I just can't crank up, you know, Doom 3 at the highest settings and play it, but...
You can't play Doom 3 at all.
But is that what makes gaming fun? Is that why PC gaming's popular? Because it's prettier than the consoles? Or is it because it's a different style of game and the mouse and keyboard lend itself to a whole new, different type of gameplay?
Yeah, both.
Of course, I mean, the whole point of PC games normally is because it is the cutting edge. I mean, you get stuck with your console and you're going to have that for 5 years, PC. You get upgrade and upgrade and upgrade, and you're always getting whatever's the latest, prettiest, biggest thing.
To blame that, Intel and that, for the reason of the PC gaming downfall, or, oh, these people aren't spending enough money on their computers, so PC gaming isn't as good. Figure out a way to make it work better on less hardware. That's what the whole poll topic we did was about.
No, but Intel is shipping integrated graphics that purposely aren't capable of accelerating DirectX 9 in the same way as the NForce or the GeForce embedded chips are. And well, because they can price it at a lower point.
If you're not
it's a marketing move, essentially. They're saying, here's a cheaper platform. Would it cost Intel all that much money to, instead of including their current whatever extreme graphics chipset, something with a little higher capability? What's the price there? I don't know the answer to that.
What if your Grandpa Jones just buying a computer?
Are you going to play games, though? Are you?
That's what I'm saying. Who are these people buying laptops to game on?
But now Grandpa Jones has no choice whatsoever. So what if he was perusing the game aisle, saw a box that caught his eye? Now there's no possible chance whatsoever that he's going to be able to play that game. So that whole casual market now cannot join, you know, the rest of us PC gamers.
Epic needs to learn to make lower crap for their games.
Lower crap.
Tom, even what you said takes place, they still wouldn't be able to run any of the commercial games in any manner that would make them playable. Even if it did support DirectX 9, it's not going to have the firepower that it needs to run half of these games. I have a full PC right here that's a billion times more powerful than most laptops, and I can't run most of the games to a reasonable frame rate.
Who, as a gamer, is going and saying, hey, I want to play some serious first-person shooter games. Let me get the $499 system from Intel with all this integrated garbage.
Tom does have a point. I see what he's saying. If you did get your computer just for checking email or whatever and then happen to be in the store and like, oh, you know, I was in World War II, maybe I want to play this game. And like, you know.
I would love to relive those days.
You're right. And I see what Tom's saying. Now this guy has absolutely no chance of playing the games. And I'm saying even if they did put the higher graphics card in there, he still wouldn't have a chance of playing these games. And if Epic really wants to appeal, Epic should make an intro line of games then. Something that doesn't
casual
really...
Games.
Yeah, casual games that don't demand that type of hardware. Put aside a department to make games for computers that existed 5 years ago. They would still look good, and if you're a new casual gamer, you're not going to know the damn difference anyway.
I mean, I agree with what you're saying, and part of that is, then isn't it a kind of a cop-out to then to blame the hardware? Like,
yes.
Well, dude, the hardware is out there. Your job is to code to the hardware that's out there and make it appealing for the consumer.
Or stop making every single one of your games that requires a GeForce 7800 or higher to even get a frame rate above 20.
It'll be sweet because in 5 years, you still won't be able to max out all the settings. Well, then...
And unplayable for the next 3 or 4 or 5 years.
Before we go on to the next topic, just yesterday I was in unnamed big box retailers. All of the PC games were next to the books and periodicals section, whereas all the console games had their own section with their own displays that covered multiple aisles, and PC games were just all the way over there by the books.
The old crunched boxes that have been, like, torn open and retaped shut.
Next topic.
Betty Ford Clinic for Gamers is open. In Amsterdam, this is a rehab center that's supposed to treat gaming addicted. Yeah.
Amsterdam. Let's go to the smoke bar, get stoned, and go pick up some hookers.
They're trying to treat addiction in general. They say, you know, when any behavior becomes a focal point in your life, at that point it's an addiction.
Like work?
Yeah, right.
Good point.
Social commentary by Bob.
Some 21-year-old dude was like, for the last 5 years, he rarely left his room due to his addiction with MMOs. He says, quote, I couldn't go to the toilet because I would have to leave. I would take an empty bottle and just pee in it.
Oh, come on. We've all done that before.
No, pretty much just you.
Remember, ladies, he's single.
The Smith & Jones Wild Horses Center, they actually do. Gamers go through a detox period by treatment with a regimen including group and individual therapy supervised by psychologists and psychiatrists. Their aim is to, quote, replace the fantasy excitement with actually real excitement.
Right. To wean you off of, you know, your MMO, here's a...
No, I want to play DOA volleyball. Chris, it's like, I can't use it. Stop talking.
Why not? You can use that. It's Amsterdam.
Next topic.
Forum topic. So again, we didn't have a forum poll for last week. The upcoming poll, though, go to dreamstation.cc in the general forums. That's the little link on your left-hand side. This week's poll topic is going to be, this one was submitted by a listener. And I didn't write down who it was, so I want to say it's G-flat, but which events of the last year have had the biggest impact on your views of Sony? The flop of the UMD. Number two would be the CD rootkit fiasco. Number three would be Sony's general arrogance over the PS3. Number four would be the pricing of the PlayStation 3. Or lastly, the thunderous silence of this year's E3 showing. Thanks again to G-flat.
Ridge Racer!
Next topic.
It's time for the mailbag.
Mailbag!
This one's from Gabriel DeLeon. He said he liked the game. He's referring to the Legends game. He was one of the winners that we sent him that piece of paper with all of our
potato chips and vinegar.
He says he admits he's not a turn-based person. He's one of the 13 people currently playing Star Wars Galaxies after they messed all with it. He said it was simple to get into. It's a good way to spend the morning before he starts his day. So thank you for the Land of Legends game. He went on to say that Tom did a good job of editing the show.
Thank you.
Well, how old's this email, dude?
What, 2 months old, this email? He says, great show. Keep it up. He used to mix up who Keith and Bob were because they're really funny, and he can't tell the difference between the two of them. But now that he knows who's who, he likes Bob the most, with Keith a close second.
I was acknowledged! He knew that I was on the show!
Temple Dog, Neil LaPointe had given me a review of the game Rogue Trooper in some weird format, WPD. I want to say that's like Word Perfect. Don't know who still uses Word Perfect, so Neil, if you want to put that in like just a regular old text file and resend it my way. Zeus Hates You says, hey guys, great show. He wanted to give more pimpage, so he was making, look at this guy, he was making business card style flyers in gaming podcast sites that he'd been handing them out at EB Games at the mall where he works.
Sweet.
That's awesome.
That's very, very cool. So Zeus Hates You. It's a street team.
Yeah, street team.
That's awesome. I played Counter-Strike with Zeus Hates You. He's a cool guy.
Zeus Hates You, and I know Liquid Cheese and Cobalt's Dead. There's more. There's other people that have kind of been Temple Dog, that have kind of been hooking us up and helping us out.
Ham sandwich for you, gentlemen. Ham.
Yeah, I haven't forgotten about you guys. I said I was going to see what I can do. I'm still looking. We got to do something, give something back to the guys who are giving something to us. This one's from Birdo.
Hey, Chris and company. This is Birdo from the forums. I was calling to ask, do any of you guys know if the U.S. will get any DS Lite colors besides white? Love the show. Bye.
I can't see why you wouldn't. Nintendo is known for releasing stuff exclusively and then coming back again with 8 new colors. And
they'll probably bring the black one over here after that's released in Europe.
It's all of a sudden trendy to be like black and white if they're taking a cue from Apple and their iPods. So color seems to be out in industrial design.
Hey guys, this is Oliver from San Antonio, Texas. You guys did a great job, even Bob. Only thing I can say about you guys, I wish you would have an hour-long show. Very good podcast. You cover more than just one platform. Talk about everything. It's funny, entertaining. I wish you would put some kind of PayPal donation button or something up there. If you do, I would be more than happy to donate some money to you guys to help you out because I enjoy your podcast. Great work, guys. Keep doing what you do. Have a nice day.
We appreciate the offer and the feedback. This time, we're not accepting the PayPal donations. I would say in the short term, donate money towards some other good cause.
There's 63 shows, dude, and you've only done that once.
That's
so
true. 63 shows,
bad.
And I've only mauled the... So I partially mauled the 10 or 15 seconds of audio, so I apologize for that. I'm not going to go back and do it again, because it's like I record over some of our comments to some of the emails. This one is from Dark Hammer X. He says, Dear Dream Station, please listen to this message. I bet my life that you and your listeners will find it entertaining. I put a lot of effort into this, so even if you don't use it for the show, I think the various clips from your episodes will be entertaining for you. Thanks for all that you do.
The following message has been sponsored by
Dark Hammer X.
DreamStation.ccers. This is Dark Hammer X. I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener. I got a bone to pick with you and every other PC gamer listening out there.
Halo is a horrible console game. Battlefield 2 or Half-Life 2 and a whole family of mods, Counter-Strike, Day Defeat, blah, blah, blah. The Halo 2 just doesn't add up.
You all say that Halo 2 is overrated and that there are better first-person shooters available. Wow, big news flash. Games are better on the PC than they are on a console. Thanks for the groundbreaking news that every gamer in the world has known for, over 10 years? I guess one good turn deserves another. Here's a news flash for you guys and the listeners. MC Fraggle Rock isn't a real MC. My point is, Halo 2 is not overrated because to date there is no better first-person shooter available on a console. On a console, no first-person shooter has provided a multiplayer online experience that could come close to, much less rival, the party system and matchmaking on Halo 2. And why is it that you single out Halo? Halo isn't the only hype game on a console. How about Madden, which is more hype than Halo 2 will ever be? Or Final Fantasy, there are better role-playing games on PC and console, but you guys don't seem to care. Almost every popular game on a console has been outdone by the PC, not just Halo. You all are a mere minority in the gaming industry. Hey, you don't believe me? I'm willing to bet that the majority of your listeners are console gamers. Most of your material is based on console gaming. Even the money made in this industry is made mostly by console gamers. PC gaming doesn't even count. And don't act like you don't believe that.
This past year, the industry set a new record of $10.5 billion in sales. That's everything except for PC gaming in that number. Pretty high.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
I think that if you guys would take the same amount of energy you used to rip on Halo 2 and use it to do a self-examination of your own gaming experiences, you would realize how overrated PC gaming is. Is it really worth it to pay around $15 a month to play a single online PC game? That averages to about $180 a year just for one of your games. I, on the other hand, pay a mere $50 a year for my entire online console gaming combined. PC gamers have to upgrade their video cards, processors. Why bother going through all that financial and technical mumbo jumbo just to play the newest PC game, when by next year, your shiny new equipment will just be outdated anyway? That being said, Halo 2 is the best first-person shooter for my money. And with all the money I save not updating my computer equipment, I can go out and purchase more highly rated console games, which will then allow my gaming experience to be farther broadened. Hey look guys, don't feel bad about those points I made about PC gamers being a minority and wasting their money on upgrades. It feels great to finally tell somebody else that they're a minority. PC gamers are the first to try all the new technology before we do, right? You all make sure that everything is safe for the rest of us. I mean, even Batman needed a decoy, right? It was important that Robin distracted the bad guys so that Batman could swoop down and take all the credit. Don't be disgruntled, Robins. Just sit back and enjoy the ride in our Batmobile. Stay encouraged and continue to proudly wear your green and yellow tights. You should be proud to be our sidekicks. Come to think of it, alright, I guess that was a bit cruel. I think I better go back to calling PC gamers the minority. Yeah, but I know better than anyone that that wouldn't be politically correct. I got it. PC gamers are the beta testers for the console gaming industry. You guys have to test the waters of new technology before we get involved. Beta testers. That's what you are.
Next topic.
In spite of all that was just said, I love the show. I even voted for you in the gaming section of the podcast awards because you guys are the most original and funny podcast. Just don't bring back those horrible skits.
Blah, I'm pooped. These humans are so fast on their epic mounts.
Are you a nocturnal, soul-sucking creature of the night?
No, I'm a normal human filled with normal human blood.
Please make some better ones, guys. A couple more reasons for why I really, really like the podcast is I usually can agree with most of Chris's points.
Here's my opinion. Sony stinks, Xbox for adults, Nintendo, good family fun.
But on the other hand, Chris, sometimes I think you make certain statements about Halo 2 just for attention and press for the show. Because the statements you make about Halo 2 are so disagreeable that I think you do it just so that people will watch the show and be more interested because of the controversy behind your statements. And it reminds me of a certain person that works for Sony that used those same marketing techniques. You may have heard of him. I think his name is Ken Kutaragi. From now on, Chris Palladino shall be referred to as MC Kutaragi. Keith and I seem to both share a similar sadistic hatred of Sony. MC Fraggle Rock, I think you have the best radio voice on any radio podcast. You also have a radio face. As a matter of fact, kiss my ham sandwich, you PC gamer. Ivan, welcome back. Phil, I don't know who you are on the show, but your name is always mentioned, so... Oh, an intro lady. Where are you? Why aren't you on the show anymore? Your foreign accent really added a sense of professionalism to the show.
The Dream Station CC video game show.
Haha, Snoop Cosby, you are my favorite co-host of all. But you don't make enough appearances. I would really like it if you would do the game reviews.
The manual is bringing the games to the hizzy. You better recognize.
And how can I forget? And all the rest. Yeah, that should cover it.
Chris, Keith, Phil, Tom, and the rest. I think that'll be my new tag. I'm the rest, because there's no one else with me.
All right, that was pretty sweet, dude.
I think you found your Easter egg for the end.
I think we found our new arch villain.
Oh, we found a new co-host.
Dude, he needs to be on the show. I like him.
I think he should probably be on the show. I'll try and get in touch. That was good.
That was great. I like when people rip on us like that.
Except for the part of us being not being honest. We're the only genuine podcast out there. I know. We're the only ones not bought and sold by anyone. I know. We actually hate Halo 2.
What was that dude's tag again?
Dark Hammer X.
Thank you, Dark Hammer X. That was sweet.
He spent all that time just to rip on us. I mean, that's the kind of listener we want. That kind of spite. I love it.
Hey, Dream Station. This is Drunk Alan. Gamer tag Eric Draven. I was listening to your June 28th edition of your show, and I heard you guys talking about Hitman demo, and I just wanted to put it out here. That demo sucked. I agree. They walk you through the whole thing. That is just a trial learning how to play the game. And you know what? I played the game. It is great. If you like killing people, it's the game for you. No, I'm just kidding. But if you like Splinter Cell, if you like anything where you have to might think about things, there's lots of different ways to kill the guys. You can try going in there, running and gunning. You can be as sneaky as you want. After that first, like in the trailer, there's not telling you what to... No, sorry, I swore. There's not stuff telling you what to do all the time at the top of the screen. You do whatever you want. You figure it out yourself. It's a great game. I really encourage people to go and rent it. Give it a try. It's a fun game. The demo, I agree, was basically a piece of crap that confused everybody into thinking that it was a bad game, but it's not. Peace!
I think he was one of the guys that programmed that game and worked on it.
I was going to say, thanks, marketing guy from the studio that did Hitman.
We got a review from Drunk Allen, so there you go. He's saying try it out, and he's also saying don't try the demo.
I mean, come on, everybody trusts a drunk guy.
Thank you for the review of the Merc keyboard. You can send us audio. You can call our phone number. Keith, what's the number again? Let's see how his memory is.
206-984-GAME.
Very good. You can also send us just straight up audio to videogameshow@dreamstation.cc.
And if you would like a tutorial on how to record audio on Windows XP, you could visit mcfragslot.com.
Next topic.
All right, that was pretty much show 62, 63, whatever we're on, 63, I believe. Check out the website, www.dreamstation.cc, for news, reviews, interviews, forums, and our downloadable show archive. Email, videogameshow@dreamstation.cc. Phone number,
206-984-GAME.
Spread the word to your family, friends, local gaming stores. Thank you again for everybody that nominated us for the podcast awards. Thank you for all the emails and support and audio and everything else. Please keep them coming. If I don't get back to you, I will just hang on to your hat because I'm a little backed up. All right, anybody have anything else in the final moments of the show 63 here?
MCFragslot.com.
All right, thank you guys, and I'm stopping recording. Peace out.